Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for being here. I am super excited for what God is going to share with us on tonight according to his word. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining me. I tell you, it has been a journey, and I have been walking in some steps that have been ordered by the Lord. and I'm seeing the manifestation of the obedience of walking in those steps. And I tell you, it's a lot. I'm excited. I'm still excited because I just, day to day, I just don't know what the Lord is going to do. But whatever he do, I'm doing it with him. Amen. And it's not always easy, and it's not always pleasant, and sometimes you get tired, and sometimes you get weary, and sometimes the flesh wants to rebel and break down and get sick and cause you not to feel like you can move on, and some days you just want to quit. But I am here to encourage you on today. Do not quit kick. Do not quit stand. Do not quit just trust and believe and continue to move forward. Amen. Tonight's show is Following in the Footsteps of My Father. Now, for some reason tonight, if you are listening in and if I get glitchy or at any point you cannot hear me clearly, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you are having a difficult time hearing me. Again, dial 1 on your dial pad if at any time during this broadcast you cannot clearly hear me. Amen. So again, tonight's show is Following in the Footsteps of My Father. I had an interesting week last week. Well, first of all, I've been having an interesting month, and I think those who may have tuned in the last couple of shows, you heard my testimony. For those who may not know, I was actually living in California. I'm a native Californian, and I've lived in various states over the years. But for the last 16 years, I've been back home in California. For the last 3, the Lord has been probing me and provoking me to get up and move. And I know, you know, of course, as with anyone, when you first start hearing things, you're not sure because it doesn't seem logical, and you begin to question the Lord. Lord, are you sure? Is that really you? You know, is it not my own fleshly desires? And so after 3 years of battling and being in disobedient and being and staying still, I finally, the Lord finally pushed me to a point where I had to say yes. I had to come and line up in obedience. And tonight's show is going to even share with that. I had to line up in obedience because my steps are ordered by the Lord. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit more detail because we hear that scripture and we hear people quote that scripture. And it's cute. And it's becoming, a lot of times, scriptures become cliche-ish because we hear people just quote them and quote them and quote them and never really having a true understanding of what that scripture means. What does that really mean? Or we quote the scripture, but we don't follow them. We're hearers of the word, but we're not doers. And tonight, I want to encourage us to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. So when the Lord says move, we will move. And when he speaks of being righteous, that we will be righteous. And we don't see righteous as a big word that's unattainable, but we'll see righteous as simply merely making right choices. Amen. So I'm going to go into Psalms chapter 37 and verses, I'm going to deal with verses 23 through 25. This is going to establish where the direction we're going into tonight. And I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. And I'm reading out of that because it's simplistic and it's simplistic in its language. Now, I myself enjoy King James. That's the version that I like. However, it could be a little difficult with the language for those who may not be as mature in the word or may have a little bit difficulty understanding. So I'm going to do the English Standard Version. Again, I'm going into Psalms chapter 37, and I'm going to start in verse 23 to 25. The steps of a man are established. And man, we know man is a general term used in the Bible that speaks of humans, male and female. So the steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his ways, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. We're going to stay here for a minute in Psalms chapter 37. And we're going to break this down because I don't want to merely just quote a scripture to you. I want to break it down so that we'll have a clear understanding. Now, I'm going to break it down according to English language, and I'm going to break it down, and I'm using the Webster Dictionary. Of course, again, the original language was in Hebrew, and sometimes when they translated into English, it lost some of its meaning. So I'm not a theologian. I'm not going to get into that. This is not the time for this, but I am going to break down the words as they have been spoken in the scripture. And so we're going to start with verse 21 in chapter 37 of Psalms. And it says, the steps of a man are established. And I just wanted to go back because I want to be able to, three key words in this whole scripture that stand out for me that I want to break down. I want to break down righteous, because in King James Version, it does say the steps of a righteous man are ordered, established by the Lord. So I want to deal with righteous, I want to deal with established, and I want to deal with, righteous, established. I want to also deal with permanent. I want us to get a full understanding of these words so that when we read this scripture, we really understand what this scripture means. So let's deal with righteous first. And according to Webster, it says acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, right choices. And I equate that to right choices, making right choices. So righteousness is acting in accord with divine or moral law. Establish, set up on a firm or permanent basis. Establish means to set up on a firm or permanent basis. And now I want to break down permanent. Permanent, lasting or intended to last or remain unchanged indefinitely. Ooh, lasting or intended to last or remain unchanged indefinitely. Now, these are some powerful words. And then obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stand by, act in accordance with, uphold, heed, and accept. So there's four words here that we broke down. Righteous means simply to make right choices. Established means permanent, firm and permanent. Permanent means lasting or intended to last or remain unchanged indefinitely. And abide. Abide means to obey, observe, follow, keep to, stick to, conform, adhere. Keep those things in mind, because I'm going to go back and I'm going to read Psalms 37 again. But now that you have a clear understanding, so we know now when we said the steps of a man are established. In other words, the steps that the Lord has established for you, they're established. They're permanent. He's ordered steps. They're permanent for you. They're established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. In other words, when we abide in the Lord, it says here that when we abide in the Lord, that when we delight ourselves and abide in him, that he'll give us the desires of our heart. And we're going to get further into that. So we wanted to understand abide. What does that mean? When he says to abide in me and I abide and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be given. It means to obey, observe, whatever I'm telling you, whatever that word is that he's giving you, his word. He wants you to obey it, and he wants you to abide in it, follow it, stick to it, hold firm to it, okay? So we've now established that, and now we know when he's speaking about the steps of a righteous man being established or ordered by the Lord, when he delights in his ways, when we follow him, when we observe, when we're obedient. So when we delight in his ways, though we fall, though we will slip up, though we will make mistakes, though we will sin, he shall not be cast along. So he shall not cast us away because we make mistakes. For the Lord upholds his hand. And then it goes on to tell us that that would tell me that even as a righteous man, making right choices, sometimes we miss the mark and we blow it. And he said that doesn't stop us, or does not stop him from seeing us as being righteous. Amen. So I got excited about that. It doesn't stop him from seeing us as being righteous, because we made a mistake or because we missed the mark or because we blew it. it doesn't matter because he's already established our steps. He's already established our steps, and they're firm. They're permanent, the steps that he's ordered for us. And all we have to do is line up and walk in the steps that he's ordered for us. Amen? And he goes on to confirm that by saying, it goes on to confirm that by saying, I have been old. I mean, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. So he's righteous, the righteous man. The steps are ordered. They're established. They're permanent, and we'll be walking in the steps. And so, again, tonight's show, following the footsteps of my father. One of the things I've established as I begin to study on tonight is that why do we know when we're following the footsteps of our father? In the natural, if your father was a, let's just say your father was a carpenter, or let's just say your father was a righteous man, a church-going man, then following his footsteps would merely mean that whatever step that he's taken, you've taken those same steps. Then perhaps you're a righteous man or a righteous woman and you're in church, or maybe your father's trade was a salesman, a door-to-door salesman, and you followed in his footsteps and you became a door-to-door salesman, or your father was an attorney and you became an attorney or a doctor. And you see that a lot in law enforcement. Oftentimes in law enforcement, you see second, third, fourth generation of law enforcement because somebody's grandfather was a police and then their father was a police and they became a police. So they followed in the footsteps of their father, and that's in the natural. And so in the spiritual, when we're following in the footsteps of our father, how do we know that? Is there a visible way of identifying that we're following in our father's footsteps? In the natural, we could see, because if my father was a doctor and I became a doctor, that's what we see. Woo! That's what we see, because I'm a doctor, he's a doctor. It's natural. We could see it naturally. But spiritually, can we really see that? There is a way that we could see when we're following in the footsteps of our Heavenly Father. Because we're going to see it by the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to see the Spirit of God and how God operates. We're going to begin to see that in our own lives. And we're going to begin to see that with what we do, what we say, how we behave, how we react. That's going to begin to show others that we're following the footsteps of our Father, our Heavenly Father. And so, one of the ways people would know is through your faith. Through your faith, that if you're walking in faith and you're showing a lot of faith and you're operating in faith, because faith is an action, because the Word of God says faith without works is dead. So faith is something in motion. Faith is your belief in motion. Amen. Faith is your belief in motion. So people are gonna be able to look at you and say, "Wow, she's a woman of great faith," because I'm gonna be moving in faith and I'm gonna be doing things in faith. And faith is, let's make sure we understand what faith is, because we got to understand what things are. Otherwise, we're just sitting in the pews every Sunday, and we're hearing a lot of words. And if you're hearing a lot of words and you don't understand it, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Anybody used to watch Charlie Brown, and you never seen his teacher, all you hear was wah, 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 wah. We never understood what this lady said. Evidently, Charlie Brown them did, because they would go ahead and do whatever she said. But it was a wah, 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 wah. And many of us are sitting in church, and the pastor is like Charlie Brown's teacher. We're not understanding. All we're hearing is wah, wah, wah. And that's not the pastor's fault. That's our fault, because we're not taking time to study. We're not taking time to understand the Word of God. We're not taking time to break down, to chew on it, because you got to digest it. And anybody know that in the natural, if you take a steak and you begin to eat the steak and you chew it twice and swallow it, you're swallowing lump. You're not even getting a full taste and texture of the steak, because you have to chew it and you got to taste it. And then once you chew it up really good and you taste it, then you swallow it and your body can digest it. Amen? And the same thing with the Word. When we hear the Word, we need to be able to hear it. And we need to be able to taste it. What is God saying? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to you? Amen? So we know that faith, according to Hebrews 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. So people are going to know you're walking in faith because guess what? It's not necessarily that there's evidence, but they're going to see your hope and they're going to see your belief in motion because I believe that one day I would have a beautiful home. Let's just say that. That one day I would have a big, beautiful home. I believe that. And so whatever we believe, we're going to begin to speak. So I begin to speak that into the atmosphere that one day I'm going to have this, I'm going to have this home. And I'm using this as an example. I'm using material things, not because a material thing is an important thing, but because a material thing is something people can see. Amen? So I'm starting to speak my belief. And I'm speaking my belief that I want a house. And so as I begin to speak my belief that I want a house, that's the belief. My faith happens when I begin to act on that belief. I believe that I can have a house. So now my belief says, call a real estate agent. Begin to talk to a real estate agent. So now I begin to talk to a real estate agent, and I begin to look at houses. So now that's my belief in action. That's faith. I'm by faith. I'm now beginning to look at houses, and I'm starting to look at houses, and I'm trying to determine based on what I could afford and where I want to live and all that. So I believe that I want a house, and then my beliefs push me into action, and that's my faith. So my faith said, okay, now I'm gonna start making calls, and I'm gonna start looking, I'm gonna start hoping for this thing to manifest. Amen. So our faith. The next thing in step that we can see that the step that we're following after the steps of our Father is virtue. Virtue. What is that? What does that really mean? What does virtue mean to us? We hear this word, virtue, and do we really know what it means? Bear with me. I'm sorry here. I had a little glitch here. But defining virtue is, bear with me, behavior showing high moral standards. So virtue is goodness, righteousness, integrity. Virtue is a lot like righteousness, integrity, dignity, honor, decency. So we're going to be people that operate. You're following after the footsteps of your Father, so you're going to be somebody that's operating in integrity. What does that mean, Coach D? Integrity, doing the right thing, even when you know no one is looking. You know, when you say something, when you make a commitment, do you keep it? Integrity, dignity, honor. Are you decent? Are you a decent, law-abiding citizen? Or are you trying to be slick, trying to always find a way to get around the system? Virtue, that's going to be something that people are going to begin to see in us. So now they're seeing our steps. Faith, they see faith. Oh, wow, she's an awesome woman of God. She's, look at her faith levels. Now they see the virtue. She's a woman of virtue or a man of virtue. Now we see that step. So now we see these two steps. We're going to begin to see other things because now we're going to begin to see knowledge. Is she knowledgeable of the Word of God? Are you knowledgeable of the Word of God? Are you spending time in the Word? Do you know what the word is? Not that you know, I'm not saying that you got to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to be, and the way we seek him is through prayer, praise, worship in the word. So if the word is the very mind of God, then in order for us to know God, our Father, then we have to be in his word. We got to get into his mind. What was God thinking? What does God say about it? And the only way we'll know what he's thinking is through his word, because his word, the Bible, these words are the very mind of God. Amen? So we need to know, be knowledgeable. The other one is temperance. This is a big one for believers. Even Coach D, temperance. Are we temperate? Do we fly off the handle? Are we quick-tempered? Are we ready to go off every time somebody step on our toes? Every time somebody moves us the wrong way, how are we responding? How are we responding to how people do us, whether they do us wrong or right, even if they're wrong? Or do we have to be wrong with them? Is that a sign that we're following the footsteps of our Father? And I'm not talking about, when I talk about temperance, I'm not talking about that just because you became angry, but what it says to anger and sin not. So once you became angry, what was it that you've done after you became angry? Amen? And you have to know, does that represent your Father? Does that say, yes, this represents my Father getting upset, getting angry, going off about something? Amen? The next thing is patience. I don't know about many of you, but that's something that I struggle with, and I know there's many others that struggle with patience. Patience. Or do we get irrational? When we want something, do we just want it? Do we know how to wait on it? Do we know how to be disciplined? Do we know how to delay self-gratification? Are we patient? Because patience comes with kindness. Because generally when you're not patient, you're not kind. You're rushing. You're angry. You think about road rage. When people are on the road, they're not patient. Anybody that has road rage, I guarantee you they don't have patience. Their patience has been ran thin, and because their patience have been ran thin, now they begin to act out on it. So are you patient? Godliness. Are you operating godly? What does that look like? Because we know what the world looks like. We know when we look out at the world, we know what that looks like. We know that according to the word of God, that the world is the enemy of God. So if the world is the enemy of God, then when you look at the world, you know that the opposite of the world would be godliness. Worldliness, godliness, total opposites. They're in opposition, dark and light. So are you operating in godliness? And then brotherly kindness. Are we being kind to our brothers? You know, the word of God tells us when he talked about love, one of the first things was the love that the Lord our God with our all. The second thing was to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So God was very big on love. He was very big on love. He was big on first loving him and then loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And it says as we love ourselves, so not only big on loving him, but we have to love ourselves, because if we can't love ourselves, then we can't love our neighbors. We can't even follow that command when it says love my neighbor as we love your neighbor as you love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You wouldn't even know how to love your neighbor. So we got to know how to love ourselves. And we learn how to love ourselves through loving God. Amen. And then charity. Charity is another step. Charity is, you know, is defined as love. And love is best defined as contending for one's higher good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. And I think that's the perfect definition of love, because sometimes we have to love people that's not lovable. And sometimes we have to love people that don't even love themselves. And when it says contending for one's highest good, who's had that child or that spouse or that family member that was caught on drugs, that was addicted to drugs, had an addiction, and they were constantly getting into something or constantly doing something, and either they were stealing or they were doing this and doing that, and yet, even though it would just break you down, even though it would get on your last nerves, even though you would say, I'm not going to deal with this person no more, I'm done with it, your love for that person would not allow you to cut them loose, that your love for that person would not allow you to give up on them. You were contending for their highest good. You were praying for them. When they were hungry, you fed them. When they needed a place to sleep, you try to give them a place to sleep, even if it wasn't at your place. You know, maybe they stole too much, and you knew that you couldn't bring them there, but you would seem like you would always be trying to find a way to make sure that they had a roof over their head or that they had clothing. That's contending for one's highest good. And some of us seen the manifestation of that love that we gave to somebody else. We've seen that person begin to be transformed. We've seen them begin to change. We've seen them get over the addictions, or we've seen them get up on their feet. You know, we've seen them get out of a bad relationship that they stayed in for probably a lot of years, in an abusive situation, and we loved them and we prayed for them. And even though we weren't in agreement with their decision, and even though we were angry at them because they wouldn't take our advice and they wouldn't listen, but yet and still our love contended for their highest good. Our love believed the best for them. Our love is what kept us going before the throne of grace on their behalf. We were contending for their highest good until it became a manifestation. And unfortunately, sometimes that manifestation is not the result of sin deliverance, but sometimes the manifestation may be that the person, you know, that they get called home. Amen. These are some fruitfulness that we see as we're following the steps of our Heavenly Father. Again, we said faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Those are some of the things, but there's many more things that will identify you that you're following the steps of your Father. Amen. John 15, verses 1 through 10 tells us, and it says, I am the Father. Really speaks to us following the footsteps of our Father. It really speaks to us walking in the steps that's ordered, because it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Now, I want to stop right there, because as I was studying this, and I read this scripture a lot of times, but it says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, listen to that. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Does anybody know about the pruning process? Because that's a painful process. It's not pruning something. It's not something that is pain-free. And so when I think about it, a lot of times when we're going through something painful, the first thing other people from outside looking in want to say is, ooh, they must not be living right. They must not be doing what God called them to do. It's always they must not be, or they not connected to God, or, yeah, you know, they this, or they that. And sometimes we even question our own self. I know it's been times where I'm going through a trial in life, and I'm thinking, Lord, where did I miss the mark? What did I do wrong? You know, sometimes I'd be thinking, God, Lord, are you punishing me for the sins of my past? You know, back in the day when, before I was saved, or before I was trying to follow the footsteps of my Father. But then I realized in this scripture, it tells us that he'll prune us. And pruning is not an easy process. It hurts. It hurts to be pruned. And if anybody know about pruning, because in, you know, agriculture, you know, trees, when trees are growing, that you have to trim them. You have to trim a tree. You got to trim them. And sometimes you have to cut off dead, you know, take off dead leaves. And you got to some branches are overgrown, or they're no good. And you got to break them and tear them and get rid of them. Because if you don't, it'll cause the tree not to be able to grow. It could kill the whole tree or the whole plant if you don't prune it properly. And pruning, you're picking something off that is attached to something. So when we're going through this pruning process in our lives, and God is allowing, and he's pruning us, you got to make sure you know when you're being pruned and when you're being punished, because pruning looks a lot like being punished. The difference between the two is because being pruned, it still causes growth. Pruning causes growth. You continue to grow, and you continue to produce fruit. Punishing does not cause growth, and oftentimes punishment is could send you, if you're not careful, into condemnation. Punishing does not cause growth. It's a stagnant place. It's a stagnant place. And you think about it, when we punish our kids because they've done something wrong, it's a shutdown. punishment is a shutdown. No more. No more TV. No more video games. No more cell phone. It's a shutdown. It's a loss. But pruning is a growth process. It really is a growth process. And it's cutting away. It's pruning back the branches. It reduced the extent of something by removing superficies or unwanted parts. And we do. We get those things. We get certain things in our lives. You know, it could be people. We could get certain friendships that we got that weren't friendships necessarily that God had ordained in our steps, but somewhere we got off step, and we could get involved in relationships or friendships that God has not ordained. And so there's a pruning process to get those friendships and those relationships out of our life. And it's painful. Because in the natural, we thought, oh, yeah, this was somebody I was going to spend the rest of my life with, only to find out that that's not who God had purpose for you. And it's a pruning process to get that person out of your life. That it's not just work with, relationships or friendships. It works with jobs. It works in a lot of areas of our lives where God will begin to prune. He will begin, I often say, I get to a point in life, and I do this often, my prayer is I will ask the Lord to begin to shake my tree. And basically what this is saying is that get rid of the dead stuff, get rid of the weight, get rid of the leaves and the rotten fruit that has developed. Get rid of some stuff, Lord, so that I could grow, because I'm stagnant. So I need you to shake my tree, because anything that's supposed to be there, after God gets through shaking that tree, if it's supposed to be there, it's going to still be there. But the shake is violent. It's a violent shake. And anything that ain't supposed to be there, it's going to loose and it's going to fall. It's going to hit the ground and be no more. And so it's good that God does the pruning for us. It hurts, but it's good. It hurts, but it's good for us, and it causes us to grow. And we want to grow because we want to continue to move forward. We want to continue to move in the things of our Father. We want to be able to do and be everything that God created us to be and do. We want to make sure that we're manifesting everything inside of us that's supposed to be brought on the outside of us. You know, my big thing right now, and it's really been on my heart because I've been moving and things been happening fast in my life, and some things I'm not at liberty to share, and some things I am at liberty to share. But things have been moving, and I got an opportunity the last few days. I got an opportunity to spend some time with some very, very special people in my life. And I tell you, I left there. I left that place, cried from the time I left that place to the time I got to my destination. And the crying, it wasn't really a sorrowful cry. I think it was a cry of repentance. And the cry of repentance is that there's no way in this world that I want to leave this place full. I don't want to leave this place full. When God called me to come home, I want to be totally empty. I want to be empty of everything that he created me to be and everything that he created me to do. When I go home, I want to be empty. I want to hear the words, great job, good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. I want to make sure that everything he put in me put into this earth for kingdom purpose is done. I don't want to be lax. I don't want to slumber. I don't want to lay down. I don't want ankle problems, hip problems, or none of that that caused me to lay down and not do what God's called me to do. And tonight's call, I don't have anything else more to teach. But what I want to encourage somebody's listening in tonight, and you've been feeling like you're off balance. You've been feeling like that you done missed some footing. You know, footing. You know how you could climb the stairs and you miss a step, and it may cause you to stumble or it may cause you to fall. Well, I'm telling you to get back up. Tonight I'm telling you to get back up. It's okay. You missed a step, But the step is still there. The step didn't go nowhere. You missed the step. The step didn't miss you. So because the step did not miss you, you still have an opportunity to get back on that step and continue your journey. God has placed some stuff in us, some stuff in you, and we are getting caught up in stuff that don't matter. We're getting caught up in affairs of the heart. We're getting caught up in finances. We're getting caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're getting caught up in so much stuff that don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. And God has placed so much in us, in each one of us. He has placed. God is not giving you nothing else. God don't change. And I got an opportunity to even fellowship with my old church. And Pastor said, God does not change, but he's constantly changing everything around you. And so he's already put in you everything you need, every purpose, everything that he had created you to do, already did it. He's not going to give you any more or any less. It's already there. And we just have to begin to be tuned into him so that we can hear what he's telling us, so that we can manifest these things that's in us. It says, the Lord's Prayer says, let it be done on earth as it already complete in heaven. Genesis told us on the seventh day he rest. Because he completed everything on the sixth day. It's done. You already done. And you still waiting for God to do some extra super duper things, and you need to hear a word, or you need to see somebody turn double decker flips, or you need to see somebody walking in fire and not get burnt. Guess what? It's already done. You're already completed. Now just walk it out. Walk in the steps that he's ordered, so that as you walk in the steps that's already been established, and we already found out what that meant, that means permanent. It's done. So we walk in those steps, and as we walk in the steps, each step we take, we're going to begin to see supernatural things happen, because we're walking in the supernatural steps of our Father. And so we're going to begin to see stuff happen. So you're going to walk, and as you walk, you're going to see, oh my gosh, God gave me a vision. I'm going to start a business. And you just keep walking in the steps. Don't sit down. Don't quit. Don't get weary, but keep going. And as you walk, you will see the manifestation, because he'll start bringing things to you. Things that already existed. It ain't nothing that's created. Things that already existed, he'll start bringing to you. Perfect example of that. The business that I'm in. We, you know, the business been around for 50 years, but in the last 4 years, another product was developed. We began to develop some other products, and these products are life-changing. But it took 4 years. We were nobody. Nobody knew our brand. Nobody knew about this product. We were trying to get people to know about this product, and we had to keep sowing seeds. We had to keep sprinkling seeds. We had to keep sprinkling seeds, but we couldn't see anything movement on top of the dirt. We're sprinkling these seeds, but we're not seeing nothing bust through the ground. We're not seeing no movement, no movement. But little did we know that the movement had already manifested. But we were looking for a visual sign of that. And for 3 years, we didn't see it. And then 3 years had the company just decide, you know what, we don't want to go no further. We done spent all we're going to spend. We're not going to do anything else. If they would have just quit, then we wouldn't be where it's at now. And today where it's at is now people are, it's a buzz going on. Ooh, did you hear about that? Ooh, did you see that product? Ooh, that product doing this. Now is a buzz going on. And the buzz is getting to other countries and their presidents. And they're ambassadors. And now these people want to meet. These people are opening up their doors. They want to hear more about this product. They want to know how can they get this product into their country. How can they make a difference for their people, you know? And so, but had we quit, because it was rough, because people were closing the doors in our face. People were laughing. Ha, 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 it's going to cost too much. Ha, 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 nobody will ever be able to buy that. Ha, 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 we don't need that. People were closing doors. And had we quit, then we would not be where we are today. And I'm telling you tonight, don't quit. Because if you quit, then nobody may not never read that book that God gave you. If you quit, then nobody will never get delivered from drugs because God has already delivered you and give you some sure techniques to help somebody else come through. If you quit, that marriage might go through a divorce because you were the person that needed to minister to that couple to keep that marriage going. If you quit, there's a lot that's not going to manifest. You are important. We are important to the kingdom. We're on kingdom assignment. We was never supposed to come down here into this earth and just get lax and slumber and chill. We are kingdom citizens. We are kingdom citizens, and our king is requiring us to come back home empty. He's gave us all kind of treasures, wisdom and knowledge. Some he gave, you know, he said some he gave this and some he gave that and some he gave this. But we're supposed to come back empty. It's almost like the talents. You know, if you read the book and it talks about the guys with the rich man who left talents, and he left one talent here and five talents here and 10 talents here. And for the man used their talents, they multiplied their values 100-fold. And when the rich man came back, he blessed them with more. But it was one person that buried their talent. They didn't do nothing. And that's like us. When we go back, and all of us have an expiration date, just as sure as you're living, you're going to die. All of us have an expiration date, and all of us have things, gifts, and treasures that God has sent. It's almost like he sent us down to heaven with a backpack on our back full of gifts and talents and treasures to bless this earth, to tell people about our kingdom. To tell people about our kingdom and the benefits of our kingdom. And we're supposed to use these treasures to do that. One of the gifts that you may have and one of the treasures that you may have is that you may be able to feed the homeless. But you're feeding them because you want them to be fed. But you also want them to be fed so that they're not hungry, so that they can hear you when you begin to tell them about your kingdom. Nobody wants to go to a kingdom that they can't get fed or clothed or loved on. We got work to do. We have work to do, and we need to be doing the work. And the way we're going to do the work is by following the footsteps of our Father, staying vertically alive, looking forward, not looking to the right or the left, but looking ahead and walking in the steps that have already been predestined and assigned for us. Because on that path that you have, and each one of us have a different path, but each step, there's something in it. Even when it's painful, even when you're being pruned, there's still a growth in it. There's something in it. We're supposed to take something out of every season. It don't matter if it's winter and it's snowing and it's freezing and nothing's growing. We're supposed to be able to take something out of every season to use for the next season. Amen. Father God, we just thank you this evening. We thank you for your word, Lord, that's gone forth this evening, Father. Father God, I pray for each person who's listening to this broadcast on tonight, those who are listening in live, or whether they're listening in through the internet, or whether they'll listen in at a later time, Father. I pray that the words of this message will just penetrate them, Father, and encourage them, provoke them to purpose, that they will do the will of their Father, following in the footsteps of you, Father God, that they'll know that they belong to you, that they are a kingdom citizen, and you, Lord, are our King. And we want to come back to you empty, utilizing every gift, everything that you gave us, everything that you created us to do, Father. We want to come back empty. So, Lord, just use us, and we want to be used by you, Father. And we just say thank you for using us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. You are a blessing. I thank you for your continual support of the MCD Network. Every week, we've done some schedule changes. Processing the Pain will still continue on Thursday night at, I still say 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, though I am now in a new time zone. Hallelujah. I am in Central Standard Time zone. So for Central Standard Time, it's 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is 7 p.m. So I will still continue on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Woman to Woman will continue on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Cheek to Cheek will now be the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. So the next episode of Cheek to Cheek will be on the 25th of September. And then again, it will be the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. We really appreciate your continual support. And we do ask, if you enjoy any of our broadcasts, please tell a friend, tell someone. The best marketing tool is the word of mouth. So if you've been blessed, then just bless someone else by letting them know that all they have to do is call in and listen in to be blessed by our shows. Again, we thank you. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.